Our reading is found in the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. Early on the first day of the week, when it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They've taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they've put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running. But the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen that were lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that were wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. The disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying, and as she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They've taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they've put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not recognize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you had carried him away, tell me where you put him, and I will get him." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. And Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." And Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I've seen the Lord." And she told them all that she had seen. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts and minds this morning. Well, this morning we celebrate Easter morning, that first morning. And for a moment I'd like us to think what it must have been like for Mary Magdalene that first morning as she walked to the tomb. You know, when we think about Easter, we think about joy and expectation and triumph and victory. But not Mary that first morning on the way to the tomb, because the resurrection wasn't in front of her. When Mary went to the tomb that first Easter morning, her heart had to be weighed down with doubt and with fear and with disappointment, with the burdens of the day in an incredible way. She wasn't going to find Jesus resurrected. She was going to try to anoint Jesus' body with some perfume and some oils that she hadn't had time to do before. And she knew that there was an obstacle in her way. She knew that the stone had been rolled in front of that tomb. And so Mary went not knowing how she was possibly going to anoint Jesus' body. She just felt compelled to do that. She felt compelled to go to the tomb. And as she was going there, she had to think about all the things that were in her way. And it took at least two men, maybe more, to roll that stone into place. And you can see sort of a picture of what that is. And it was sort of a huge slotted groove, and the stone was in there, and it was downhill. And so to roll it in front of the tomb was easier than even to roll it away from the tomb. Yet she went. Maybe there was some seed of expectation, some seed of hope in her heart. But for sure, we're told that she was weighed down with the heaviness of the day. And then all of a sudden, when she got to the tomb, all that changed. She saw the stone had been rolled away, and she didn't know what to do, so she knew that Peter and John weren't too far away, and so she ran to Peter and John and said, "They've rolled the stone away, and I don't know what they've done with the Lord," and none of them knew what was going on, and Peter and John took off running towards the tomb, and we're told there, John gives us a little note about that Peter started running first, but John outran him. A little competitiveness in the disciples. It's like this thing has never gone away from the church, you know what I'm saying? They're still working some things out, and they're still human, we're still human. And John got there first, but John tells us that Peter was second, but he just went right in. Now, that's true to the form of Peter, man. He's impetuous. He's the one that jumped out of the boat without thinking, and he's the one that stormed into the tomb. So I suppose the real race was Peter's, because he had the courage to go right into the tomb. And John was still stunned looking at the grave clothes that were spread out there and wondering what had happened. And then John all of a sudden says he saw and believed. He saw and believed, but he was probably still struggling. And Peter and John looked at each other. They didn't know what to do, but they knew they needed to get the rest of the disciples. And so they took off. And Mary Magdalene was still stunned by all this, stunned not knowing what to think. I mean, seeing some seed of hope there, but then all of a sudden we're told that she just wept. And I suppose her tears were a mix of sorrow and fear and wonder, but she just wept. And we're told in that moment that two angels came to her and said, "Why are you weeping?" And you know, I think sometimes there's a message there for us. I mean, sometimes God's presence comes to us most when we are weeping, when our hearts are heavy, we don't know what to do, then sometimes the angels come to us. But that wasn't the end, because we're told that Jesus appeared. And I wonder, because Jesus was there at the beginning, because Jesus had already left. I mean, Jesus was maybe on his way to see disciples, but he realized that Mary was back there, weeping, and he wanted to go to Mary. Mary, who was not really one of the 12 and was insignificant in many ways. Mary, who had sort of this spotted, cloudy past, but Jesus had forgave her and touched her life, and there was Mary. Mary in a patriarchal society that where women were second place at best, and there she was weeping. And so Jesus went back to her. She thought he was the gardener. Maybe it was the sun. Maybe the dawn hadn't broke fully yet, and she was just clouded with fear and doubt. And she said, "I'm looking for my Jesus. Where have you taken him?" And Jesus spoke her name, Mary. And when Jesus spoke her name, in that moment, Mary recognized Jesus. And I think in that moment, too, sometimes Jesus whispers to us in the quiet fears of our hearts. When we're weighed down with doubt and fear, and Jesus comes in our tears and speaks a word of promise, a word of forgiveness, a word of grace. And I think that was all mixed in with that. And in that moment, Mary said, "Rabboni," which means teacher. And Jesus told her, "Don't touch me yet. I've not yet ascended to the Father. But go and tell my brothers that I'm going to the Father, my Father and your Father, my God and your God." In other words, Jesus was bringing reconciliation. We who were far off, we who needed forgiveness and grace, God was bringing us forgiveness and grace and love in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And so Mary went to the tomb with her heart heavy with doubt and fear and guilt. But when Mary left the tomb, her whole life was changed. Everything was changed. Her heart was filled with faith and with joy and with strength and courage. And I think it's the same for us, maybe. I mean, in our own life, think about that for a moment. I mean, why was the stone rolled away from the tomb? I mean, if you think about it, Jesus had a resurrected body. He could have walked right through the stone, just like he walked right through the walls when he went to see the disciples shortly that same day. I think the reason the stone was rolled away was for Mary and for the disciples. The stone was rolled away because Mary went there not knowing what she was going to do. Mary went there wanting to anoint Jesus' body. Mary went there to honor a Lord who was crucified. But when she went there, she found the stone rolled away and a risen Lord. And I think the stone was rolled away so she'd know the tomb was empty. And I think the stone was rolled away so the disciples would know the tomb was empty. And I think in our own lives sometimes God comes to us and maybe presents us with a challenge, a burden, a difficulty, an adversity that is too big for our own lives, like that stone that was too big for Mary, so that we have to lean on God's grace to find a greater miracle. Because it's in those moments when we face a stone that's greater than us, a rock that's bigger than us, and we find the power of Almighty God. And that's the way it was that day, that first Easter morning, with Mary and with Peter and with John and with later all the disciples. And so the question, I think, for all of us in this morning is, what's the stone in our life that seems too big? Maybe it's an illness, or maybe it's a fear, maybe it's the future itself, or maybe it's a broken relationship, and maybe it's the loss of a loved one. Maybe it's just our heart weighed down with sin and shortcomings and failures of the past, and the future looks too difficult for us. I think that God would come to us on this Easter morning and say that he's rolled the stone away. He's bigger than any stone that's ever been in our heart and life this morning, and that's what Easter is all about. That Jesus comes to us personally in our tears, whether they're tears of sin and failure, whether they're tears that the world is just too big for us. And in that moment, Jesus whispers to us our name in a way that's bigger and broader than we'd ever know any other way, than if we'd never confronted a stone that was too big in our lives. And so this morning, whatever your stone is, just imagine Mary that first Easter morning, and that the stone is rolled away so that we can know the power of the resurrection and the risen Lord. And God can do that in all of our hearts and lives this morning, even though Easter in some ways is something we've experienced before, it's something we can experience anew because of the grace and glory of Almighty God. I want to close with this story, which I love. There is a story of this little boy, and he was on a farm and grew up on a farm, and there was a big rock in the field one day, and the father told the little boy to go get the rock out of the field, and the little boy didn't know quite what to do, and so he went to this big rock in the field, and he tried to push it, and it was too big to push. It was stuck, and then he tried tying a rope around it, and he tried pulling it, and he tried pulling it with all of his strength, but it was just too big for that, and then finally he went and got a sledgehammer, and bigger than he was, and he's tried to hammer this thing, and the rock was too hard, and the hammer was too big, and so frustrated, he finally went to his father and said, I can't move the rock, and the father said, you haven't tried everything, and the little boy said, I don't know what you mean, I've tried pushing it, and I've tried tying a rope around it, and I tried pulling it, and I tried even hammering the thing, and it's just too hard, and it's too big, and it's too stuck. And the father said, you haven't tried everything. The little boy said, I don't know what you mean. The father said, you haven't tried coming to me and asking me for my help. You see, because if you did, then I would go with you, and together you and I would move the rock together. So let's go ahead and do that now. And so the little boy and his father went to the rock, and together they had the strength to move that large stone. I think maybe the father told that son that command because he knew it was too hard for him. He wanted to teach him a lesson, an important truth in life, that sometimes things are too big for us, and sometimes all of us need to ask for help. And we do, our Father's there. And I think in the same way that sometimes God puts things that are too big in our hearts and lives so that we try to push it and we try to pull it and we try to break it. And finally, in exasperation, we go to our Father because we'd never go at any other point. And in that moment when we ask God for his help, then we find that together, you and I with our Heavenly Father are great enough. And so Easter morning, we see the power of the resurrection in a way that we'd never expect. And it's amazing sometimes in all of history sort of turns around the resurrection. And sometimes we look at it and we think, well, maybe that's just a small point in history. And then think for a moment about the atom itself. The atom's so small, we can't see it. We can only sort of theorize about it, but we know it's there. And we don't really understand. I mean, we can theorize how the atom stays together, but you know, that smallest atom, when it's split, generates incredible force. That force has been there all along, but when it's split, the power is unbelievable. And so in the same way, I think that sometimes we think in this small point in human history, the cross is just an insignificant thing, and the resurrection is an insignificant thing. But just as the stone was rolled away from the tomb that first Easter morning, the power that is generated from that is greater than we could ever believe. And so when we lean into our Heavenly Father with a stone that's too great in our lives, too great for sin and shortcomings, too great for the burdens of the past or the fear of the future, know this, that the power of the resurrection and the promise of the Father are so great in our lives that together you and I and the Lord can accomplish great things. And so I invite us this morning as we gather around the Lord's table to think about Jesus with his disciples that morning and the power of the resurrection and the promise that Easter gives us of God's love and forgiveness and the hope of eternal life. Will you join me in prayer? Gracious God, as we come to you this Easter morning, help us to feel your presence and power in a newer and greater way than we ever have before. Help us to lay aside our burdens for a moment and to think of the glory of that first Easter morning. Help us to think about how Mary and Peter and John came with fear and doubt and disappointment and discouragement, and you were able to wipe it away in a moment and give them strength and courage and promise. Help us to find that same promise as we come to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.